Today is the 25th of November, 2019, the 27th of Mar Cheshvan Tav Shin Pei, and we conclude today the fourth parak of Devarim. So the one small note from the Emes Liyakov, from Yaakov Kamenetsky, which is a major yisod, and I think we might have discussed this way in the past. But the pasuk tells us in pasuk Yud Tes, verse 19, Ve'isis Hashemesh Ve'sareach. You'll see the sun and the moon, and we're not gonna honor them or anything like that. Which Hashem has separated you from all of the other nations under the heavens. So what is that connection here? That Hashem has separated and distinguished you. What does that mean in the context of and don't do avodah zarah, don't serve the sun, the moon, and the stars? So how do we normally associate, when we think about the serving of the sun, the moon, and the stars, so we call that avodah zarah. And what other adjectives come to mind? I mean, how would we describe a person who is mazel. Serving, what?
Mazel. Isn't that your mazel?
So Sam is already jumping to like the punchline. Oh. But before you get to the punchline, what's the immediate? It's the way we normally train. We think about people who serve the sun, the moon, and the stars as being foolish, right? As being ridiculous. What are you doing serving the sun, the moon, and the stars? What are they going to be able to do for you? So Rav Yaakov points out that that's actually subject of a machlokas rishonim, a major machlokas rishonim, and that machlokas is how one would understand pshat, one would understand the explanation of this psukim, that the that the other nations serve the sun, the moon, and the stars, and we're commanded not to serve them, and they're also commanded not to serve them. That's what we call avodah zarah, and there's no reason to do so. It's considered foolish. However, the Ibn Ezra and the Ramban are of the opinion that no, each of these nations have their own stars, have their own mazel, have their own specific connection to whatever's going on up there, and every city has their star. Everything has their connection. So it actually does have a impact. I mean, in theory, their serving of the sun, moon, and stars could, in theory, impact their mazel, their possibilities.
So is this
possibilities.
A avodah zarah or not?
Yes, and it's still considered a avodah zarah. So he says that. So the shita of the Rambam on this pasuk is that avodah zarah doesn't mean anything, and therefore there's nothing there. And anybody who davens to is not only are they violating avodah zarah, but they're also being stupid. Right? There's no point. What in the world are they doing? But the Ramban says no. That Kadosh Baruch Hu created a teva. Kadosh Baruch Hu created a system in the world, in the universe, where there is mazel, individual mazel, or not necessarily individual, but nations and cities have their mazalos, have their luck, have their I'm missing a word here, but they, in theory, they have the ability to affect that. And so what then is their, if they are able to affect things, so what is then the problem? Non-Jews are also obligated in avodah zarah. By the way, Jews ain't mazal yisrael, so Jews are excluded from that possibility anyway. But even... is this still rolling here? Yes, but even non-Jews who are affected by it, they still have a prohibition of avodah zarah. So Rav Yaakov says, yeah, they do. They have a violation of avodah zarah, and even though it could be effective for them, even though in theory that they're still not supposed to be worshiping the sun, the moon, and the stars, they're supposed to be worshiping God. They're supposed to be having a direct connection with God, as opposed to having these intermediaries. And if they did, certainly, if they would serve avodah zarah, there would be a possibility of assisting them. But he says, actually, that's the explanation of this pasuk, that Hashem separated you from the other nations, that they're not going to help you, but they potentially could help the other nations. But yet everybody still has a violation, everybody still has a prohibition of avodah zarah, of not worshipping. Everybody still has a mitzvah to not worship avodah zarah, even though potentially there could be an effect for them. It's not so odd. I mean, we have violations of not stealing. Yevron's not supposed to steal money. Does that mean that it's stupid to steal money? I don't know if it's stupid. It's just prohibited. So does that mean it's stupid to serve a avodah zarah? So according to the Ramban, it's not stupid. It's just prohibited. This is something that we're not allowed to do. Why are you so concerned? Yeah, so in Mazel Yisrael. He's saying with regards to the Jewish people, so you're distinguished from them, because this doesn't impact you anyways. But even them, who in theory do have this Mazel idea, that do have some connections to heavenly bodies, and there are constellational issues that might affect their fortunes and stuff, they're not allowed to worship it either. Not because it's ineffective, but because it's prohibited. Right? And he says that's actually a pshat in a pasuk in Sefer Shoftim. Then Sefer Shoftim within the story of Yiftach. So Yiftach says to the Ammonite king, he says, "Alo es asher yorishcha kemoshe lokecha oso tirash." That which your God inherited for you, you have the right to. And all the things that Hashem will send away from you, so that's then going to be ours. That's what Yiftach says. So most of the commentaries, if you read that, it says, because he's mocking them. He's saying, whatever your God got for you, etc. But that's really a mockery. That's perhaps the way you normally understand it. So according to the Ramban, maybe not so. Maybe the Yiftach is stating a fact. Whatever your God was able to work out for you, it's yours. But I don't want to say God, but your entity, whatever that is, your angel, your heavenly being was able to work out for you, that's for you. But everything else is going to be, but then our God is going to take over and take away from you all those other things. Yeah?
You can't worship or pray to another God that's going to change things. Does that mean you can't do astrology and read things that are there already? You're not trying to change anything. You're just trying to understand what the constellations are telling you.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't have thoughts to say right now. I'll look it up. That could have been halacha day, but didn't get any suggestions. Yeah.
Yes, it's a little bit outside. Which is the word for separation in this pasuk?
Chaf in your test, Rises, Osam, Asher Chalak, Chaf Chalak. Which pasuk is it? Your test, 19.
No, it's in 4:20, isn't it?
Oh, it continues on to the next pasuk. I'm just looking at his Dibur Maskil. Okay, yeah. Chalak. So, yeah. Okay, so a couple of thoughts with regards to the Yetzirah here, that the that. Rav Henoch Leibowitz discusses here. So the pasuk, also of course, is parsha. Shamim kol elokim and deber mitocha esh. You heard God speak. That Hashem, you've tested Hashem and all these miraculous things that He's done. He's raised His hand and He's helped you out and He brought you out of Egypt. And then it concludes by saying, "Atah horesel daske Hashem elokim enon milvazo." That it should be embedded in your knowledge that Hashem is God and there's nothing else besides Him. So the Sforno on that pasuk describes that as a mitzvah. That's a command. Right? Not just now it's known to you, it's you should make sure that it's known to you. That's something that you have to continue to work on. Right? That's the pasuk that we say in the beginning of Hakafos for Simchas Torah. Taharei Seladas, that everybody should know that there's nothing else. So says the Ramban, says the Sforno, excuse me, as kol eila horesa kel yisbarach ladas, kadesh tisbonin v'tedabli safik, so that you shall know without having any doubt. So it's actually like a mitzvah, it's a command. It says, make sure that you continue to work and continue to investigate, and such that you'll recognize the uniqueness and the single entity that is Hashem, that is God. So, who's he talking to at that time? He's talking to the generation in the desert. Now, we pointed this out a little bit. It's not the generation that saw these things, but it's a generation right after that saw these things, and it's still seeing some pretty cool things. And there still is this cloud surrounding the camp. They still are getting mun, I believe, at this point, right? Or certainly if they're not still getting it now, they were getting it until very recently. There's still water coming out of a rock. But they still are seeing some pretty neat things, yeah.
How are they eating if they're not getting mun?
It's a good question. I'm not sure. I'm trying to remember what when Aaron passed away, because Aaron and Miriam both passed away. So in the aftermath of Aaron passing away, I'm not sure what. I'm trying to recall in Parshas Chukas if there was a complaint about mun and what the remedy was. I don't remember. But certainly with Miriam passing away, so the rock stopped flowing water, and that Moshe hit the rock and water came out. I'm just not sure what the Mun situation is. So, I don't know, maybe there was a kosher restaurant. Maybe they were fortunate enough to have places like that. You have the whole Jewish people together, maybe they could support one or two restaurants. Maybe. All right. So anyway, so that is something that is incumbent upon each person to work on that ideal. So Rav Hanoch points to an interesting, very interesting medrash. It actually came up not this week, not this past week's parsha, but the parsha before, during the parsha of the Akedah. So it says the medrash tells us in Nunvav Dalet, Vayomer Yitzchak el Avram Avinu Aviv Vayomer Avi. So Yitzchak says to Avraham, his father, and he says, and Yitzchak says, father, and that's when he turns to him and says, I see the wood, and I see the knife. What's going to be? You know, where's the korban though, right? So the Medrash says, Bas Samael Eitzel Avinu Avram. That's Samael, it's the name for Satan. So Satan came to Avram, and Amar Lo, and says to him, Saba Saba. He says, old man, Ovarta Libach. Have you lost your Libach's heart? But have you lost your mind? Like, are you crazy? You're going and killing Yitzchak. Like, what are you thinking? Ben shenitin lecha lemeya shana ata holech l'shochta. Says the son you were given when you were 100 years old. Now you're going to go and shech that kid. So Amr lo. So he says almanaskein. He says yeah. Now what does almanaskein mean? It's a little hard to translate. For this reason I'm going. Or even so, I guess it's probably the yeah. Even so, I'm going ahead and doing it. It's sort of a push-off answer. So Amar lo, he says, well, if you menaseh usach yoser mikain at yochol lamod, he nasi davar elah tila. He says, Avram, Hashem tests you, Hashem is going to test you an additional test. Are you going to be able to stand that? Which, and he quotes a pasuk in Eov that says, when you get tested too much, you get tired. So Amar lo, v'yeser al din. He says, yeah, I'll be able to stand even more. So Amar lo, lemacha Amar lo, shofich damat. So Samuel responds by saying, but tomorrow Hashem's going to call you a murderer. He says, you're a murderer. You murdered your son. Meaning, if Hashem could change your, with the implication being that if Hashem could change his mind and say, oh, you were given a son in order for that son to be the future of the Jewish people, and change his mind and say, you know what, take that son out, do the Akedas Yitzchak, so Hashem could just as easily turn to him and say, what were you doing taking out Yitzchak yesterday? You're considered a murderer. I mean, how do you know that God's not going to change his mind back? To which Avram responds by saying, so he responds by saying, I'm an askein. So yeah, even though, yeah, maybe that will happen, but you know, that's not my problem. So the Medrash continues on and says that Samael, he realized he wasn't having any success with Avram, so he went to Yitzchak. And he says to Yitzchak, Amarlo barada al ufta, holy chul shachli. He says, son of a, and the way it translates here as a forlorn mother, meaning your mother is worried sick about you. You know that he's, you know that this old guy next to you is going to kill you. So Yitzchak responds by saying, I'm an asking, I know, even so, I'm doing it anyways. So I realize that, Imkein kol osan hapagazios, she'asa imach li Yishmael sine debesa yiruta. He says, all of those, and it's translated here in the article, it's a hard, he has a footnote here, how he describes it, very hard to figure out how to translate the word. But it's some kind of beautiful garments, that all the beautiful garments that your mother made for you are going to be inherited by your rival Yishmael. And he says, yeah, I'm an asking. And that's the, and then it says, and the pasuk continues on, it says, Hadduch Siv, Yom Yitzchak El Avram, Aviv, Yom Aviv. So that's when Yitzchak turns to his father and says, Aviv. I mean, the Medrash is giving us a background to that pasuk. I mean, what's the question of Yitzchak, how's that being raised? So there's this discussion with the Satan going on in the background, where the Satan raised these logical issues with Avraham as well as with Yitzchak, and both of their responses were Almanas king. So Rav Hanoch says, I don't understand. The pasuk in Parshas Va'eschanan of Atah Reisel Das, what is that mitzvah? What is the Torah telling us to do with that pasuk? That everything requires a logical answer. That Hashem is saying, any time that there is a doubt, any time that somebody raises a question about the reality of there being a God, of there being Hashem, so you're supposed to work it out. You're supposed to, well, you have a doubt, let me sit down and I'm going to work on this and figure out my challenges with that logical ideal. So why didn't Avram do the same thing? I mean, why did Avram fight. Avram dismissed the Satan. He didn't argue with the Satan. He dismissed the Satan. He says, yeah, maybe, whatever. It's okay. You know, I'll do it anyways. I'll do it anyways. So how does one respond to that? He points out as well, that this is similar to the story with Yosef, that the Gemara tells us, the Gemara tells us in Maseches Sota that Pinchas comes from Yosef. How do we know that Pinchas comes? So the Gemara asks, what do you mean Pinchas comes from Yosef? I thought he comes from Aaron. So he says, Mibnos Putiel lo li'ishe. He's from Putiel. So Putiel, we understood before, is coming from Yisro. That Yisro is known as Putiel because he used to stuff the Avodah Zarah. So he says, no, mi Yosef shepit. So the Gemara asks that. The Gemara responds, saying, no, Yosef shepit pepi Yitzro. Yosef scorned his Yitzro. What does it mean he scorned his Yetzer? So Rashi says that he was mevayish his Yetzer. He was mevayish his Yetzer Hara, that he mocked his Yetzer Hara. So what's that talking about? It's talking about when all those years that he spent in Egypt by himself, and the Yetzer Hara is very strong. The Yetzer Hara taking the form of the wife of Potiphar, trying to seduce him. So he took and how did Yosef get out of that? How did Yosef get out of that challenge of the wife of Potiphar? So the Gemara is telling us that he didn't get out of it by saying, well, let me think about this for a moment. Well, on one hand, she's here. On the other hand, my father told me I shouldn't be doing this. Well, but she is very pretty. On the other hand, he didn't lodge, the way he resolved the issue was just by pushing her away and getting out and not going through a logical discussion. And minimizing whatever it is that she was going to be able to give him. So the whatever pleasure she was going to be able to give him. So the Rav Henoch explains that battling the Yetzer Hara sometimes takes these two different approaches. Right? One approach is to sit down and work on it. And if I have any questions about my emunah, so I could sit, then I'll learn Chuvus HaLevavos, and I'll learn the Musar Svarim, and I'll speak to my Rebbeim, and I'll work out the challenges that I have with regards to faith. And sometimes the challenges just call for pushing it aside and minimizing whatever questions, whatever challenges might be confronting at that moment. He says, Lord, this, he explains, right, Shakol Tali Bishor, and all, how do you know which one is which? He says it's all based on the Shorish HaSafik. What is the source of the Safik? That if the source of the Safik comes from something that you haven't thought through enough, and you don't have it clear, so then you should get it clear. But if the challenge is coming, you do have it here. Yosef knew very well that he wasn't supposed to sleep with the wife of Potiphar. Right? The challenge wasn't coming from a logical place. It was coming from a Yetzer Hara place. It was coming from a challenge of, but you're going to enjoy this more. Or this is going to be worth it. So then you just have to push it aside. It's not a logical challenge. It's not a challenge in the mind. It's a challenge in the heart. And he was able, and that sometimes just demands defeating it, moving away, and getting out of that problem without necessarily going through the ethical challenges. He says this actually here. He also has a piece on in Parshas Vayera, in the section dealing with Akedas Yitzchak, where he quotes this medrash and develops it a little bit further. And he gives an interesting example, not so much, not perhaps as racy as the example of Yosef and Potiphar's wife, but an example of a boy in yeshiva. There's a boy in yeshiva, and what they do it's certainly in advance as you get older and older in yeshivas, as you get, as you start advancing, so your shir becomes a little bit less of the... I mean, the idea of going and learning by a Rebbe, she becomes less and less time and less often that you're sort of being trained to work on your own and being able to figure things out on your own. And there's a concept called the chabura. There's a concept called that there's a group, and often like there's a group of guys together, and they're responsible, so to speak, for giving shir amongst themselves. Right, like the first Seder group here has their night. What? The picture, right. So that's an example of a chabur. Even there, Rabbi Greenspan's the Rebbe, he's giving the shir. But all of the members of that chabur have an opportunity also to get. I think Rabbi Greenspan gives shir once a week, and the group rotates the other part of the week, that they prepare the shir. So he gives the example of Ben Yeshiva, who wants to give a shir in front of the group. But his Yetzer tells him that maybe you shouldn't do it, because maybe you don't know how to give it so well. You're not going to give over the idea properly, and people are going to make fun of you. So... how do you deal with that? How do you deal with that? So there's two options. So one option is to say, all right, well, I hear, you know, maybe I don't know it so well, so let me go and I'm going to review it and I'm going to make sure that I know it really, really, really well. So I'll be able to answer any of those questions. Or the other approach is to say, come on, that's ridiculous. Even so, as Avram Avinu answered, al menaskein. Even so, even though they're going to mock me, I'm going to go ahead and give it anyways. So how do you decide which one, which approach to take, right? Is the approach to take that, well, all right, if I'm nervous about something, so let me go and think about it a little bit more. Or is the approach to say, I'm going to reject that fear, as perhaps as logical as it is, and I'm going to go ahead and do it anyways. So Rav Henoch's answer then is, well, it depends. What is the source of your fear? Is it, if the source of your fear is that maybe you don't really know it very well, and maybe it needs a little bit of review, so then the answer to that challenge is, you know what, maybe I should push off the shiur a little bit, or stay up really late the night before, and review it, and work really hard on it, and make sure that I am prepared. But if you are prepared, and you do know it, and or know it sufficiently to be able to give the shiur, so then what's keeping you from giving it? It's not the Yetzirah, it's not the challenge of maybe I don't know it, it's not the Atah Horeis L'Das challenge, the challenge of you better know what you're doing, it's the challenge of I'm really nervous. It's sort of the Yetzirah is coming and telling you, don't do it, because who knows what could happen out there. Alright, so then the response is, even so, al menaskein, even so, I'm going to go ahead and attempt to overcome that challenge as well.
Question. So in the latter hypothetical, what does one do to overcome the
sometimes fear? It's just to jump in anyways.
Okay.
Right? I mean, this applies to all. I can tell you personally, I have, you know, some like anxiety things. I feel like every time I go to someone's house or some kind of thing where I'm like sort of invited. I noticed this at one point. Every time I go to some place to meet with someone in some house, I pull up to the house and the same thing happens. I'm like, oh gosh, I hope they're not home. You know, like is this really the house? Like maybe like there are no cars here. Like something goes through my mind of, you know, maybe I can get out of this like right now. Even though I want to do the appointment, I know I'm supposed to be doing the appointment. It's going to be worthwhile and it's a good thing to do. I every time go through this like moment of, do I really have to? Like, maybe there's a way out of this. And then you overcome it, and you go and do it anyways. Like, you sometimes you just have to jump in and make that attempt. He gives one more. He says this is a pasuk in Tanakh. Is that's the right time?
Yeah.
So there's a description of the story. Where's my Tanakh here? There we go. Of a story in the beginning of David's reign. So Shmuel Aleph, we're in Shul, we're on our Navi Shir is on suspension right now. But Shmuel Aleph is David is anointed, and then he's the rest of Shmuel Aleph. That's like in the first half already still of Sefer Shmuel, or right in the middle. And then he spends the rest of the time fighting with Shaul, or Shaul chasing David. That's Shmuel Aleph. Shmuel Beis is David is now in charge, and he moves to Yerushalayim. And his first challenge after moving to Yerushalayim is that he has to then now deal with the Pelishtim at some point. So it tells a story and he's in the middle of this battle. So Vayusifu od Pelishtim la'alos vayinatshu be'emek Rafa'im, and they spread on the Rafa'im. So Vayishal David ba'Hashem. So David asks Vayomer lo saleh. So and Hashem tells him, "Don't go." Hasev el achareihem uvasalehem imul b'chaim. He says, "Go approach them from the other way, from opposite the mulberry trees." And then he says that when you hear the voice of tzara, when he says when you hear the sound like marching, barashia b'chaim as techarat from the top of these trees, so then you're going to go in. That's the instructions that David has. What in the world is he talking about? It means go behind them and wait to hear the rustling, and then you're going to go and attack. So the Medrash describes, so David gives us the instructions, and David tells them, and all the guys are waiting, they're right by the Pelishtim camp, but the noise hasn't rustled yet. Nothing has, that movement hasn't happened. So Rashi jumps in, he says, by the way, that rustling of the trees means that the angels are ready to go. So the other guys, his soldiers are all like let's go. Let's go! Like they're ready to go, but the thing hasn't moved. So the Medrash describes Kimishu Yatsayim Pelishim Kraven Uvaim. They're close to Yisrael. Rov Musam Shalai Yurachokim Mehem Elor Abba Amos. They're only four Amos away, and they're like, pull the trigger. So Amr Lo Yisrael David Manu Omdim, and he say to David, right? Why are we just standing here? So Amar Levi says, Mitzvah ni min elokim shaliv shot yad behem achi era roshe ilonus minani. He says, I'm commanded, like the instructions I got from the general, right, from the capital G general, from Hashem, is that we can't go until we hear the trees rustling. Vim poshtim anu yad behem anu mesim. He says, and if we raise our hand, we're going to die. Mutav namus sechayim v'tzadikim v'lo namus l'rishayim. Better that we get the zechus and be tzadikim. Whether it's better that we die as tzadikim than die as rishayim. We're going to turn to Hashem, and Hashem is going to hopefully answer our tefillos. So this is a very odd thing for David to say. I mean, if I was there and I had these instructions from Hashem, I would say, listen, if we attack now, we're going to die. If we wait, we're going to live. Right? The Medrash is describing it as saying, look, if we're going to die, we might as well be tzaddikim, right, and not violate the word of Hashem. Why is he giving that? Why is he giving those particular instructions? So Rav Hanoch suggests that it's along these lines. That David is not arguing with them, right? Rather, David is diffusing them. He's saying almanaskein. See, almanaskein. It might kill us. David's like, all right, maybe it will kill us. I don't know, right? But if God has told me to do a particular thing, that's what we're going to do, regardless. Even though you might be able to raise all these logical challenges to what I'm attempting to say, right? Almanasi, right? You make a good taina. We're right here. They're right there. They're all sleeping. Let's take them on. It's a good taina, but afal pikin, or almanas kain, as the Medrash says, we're going to listen to the word of Hashem, and we're going to take that where it leads us. So, all right, that's Perek Dalet. Here's Hashem tomorrow. Move on to Perek Hay.
In Yeshua, until after the first place of Gilgal.